Arizona is a right-to-work state, but even with that reality, it can be argued that teachers here actually achieved a great deal from their six-day walkout, possibly more than stronger union states would have. But the states with more established unions actually see better results for teachers and other workers over the long haul. And what does it take for gains to be sustainable? To learn more, I'm joined by Noam Schreiber. He reports on workers and the workplace for the New York Times. Noam, looking at this from the big picture, how much of a difference can it make for workers who are in more union-friendly states?
We do know that in states where union membership is high and unions have fairly broad reach, that wages tend to be higher and benefits tend to be higher for workers. It's pretty well established. But then you have to think in a little more detail about why that may be. Some have argued that, well, states where union membership is high are states where you have a kind of more liberal political climate, and even if unions weren't strong and union membership weren't high, you would still probably see stronger benefits, higher wages for these workers. So that first cut doesn't answer the question. It's suggestive. Then you got to start looking at the ground level. What do we mean when we talk about union strength? Well, you could mean states that are not right to work, states that have strong collective bargaining rights. What I really have in mind when I say strong unions, and I think what we see playing out in recent years and certainly in the last several months, is states where members are very engaged. And one of the easiest ways to see this is police and firefighters unions. Mm. There are many, many police and firefighters locals around the country that are extremely strong, extremely influential, do extremely well for their members. And they are in some of the states that are right to work, that have no formal collective bargaining rights.
I want to come back specifically to the teachers' aspect of it as it relates to Arizona, because if, in fact, the Arizona walkout can be considered a success, and I guess we'll see after the next couple of fiscal years if, in fact, this 20% raise that was supposed to happen actually does happen, depending on how much money the state has. Is it possible if there was a little bit of a element of surprise there because this is not a strong union state, and when about a week and a half ago, when lawmakers and the governor saw 50,000 people wearing red walking down the street to the Capitol, it was almost like a, wow, this is actually happening. So a 1% raise that I propose needs to be something higher. I mean, was that something where maybe it caught lawmakers or the governor on their heels to some extent, and then that gave this group of teachers more power than maybe they could have had before?
I think there's an element of that, no question. I think in politics, exceeding expectations often helps you quite a bit, right? So I think there are two other things that you have to think about in Arizona and some of these other states. One is, yes, they've secured some gains, but if you were to average out those gains over the past 10 years, it's not clear that, you know, on an annualized basis would be so great. Whereas if you'd had a kind of strong union fighting for them day in and day out, I would suspect that they would have done better over that 10-year period, even factoring in this 10% raise. We'll see whether the 20% materializes over 3 years. So I think you got to look over a longer time horizon and not just a kind of short period of intense political activity. The second thing is, and I think this really did play out in Arizona, maybe even more so than some of the other states, so you could argue that West Virginia was comparable, is the union actually played an important role, even though Arizona is a right-to-work state with weak collective bargaining rights. And my contention would be that if you want to see that, if the teachers in Arizona want to see that 20% raise materialize over 3 years, the way they're going to have to do it is to have some organizational infrastructure that lasts beyond this particular moment. If, you know, all we get out of this is, you know, a bunch of excited people on Facebook who then go home, you know, we're about to head off to summer vacation. If those people kind of all go off and do their thing for the summer and this just peters out in the fall, then I don't think they're going to see that 20% increase over 3 years. But if they're able to build a lasting organization, if they're able to kind of piggyback on the infrastructure of the union that already exists, then I think they have a real chance. And that, again, goes back to that mobilization, that engagement question. You've got to hold politicians' feet to the fire. In order to do that, you do tend to need a lasting organization.
We've been hearing the word optics a lot, or even the optics of this, to see teachers in various states doing this, and in some states we wouldn't have expected to see it. Is there a better chance for that momentum to carry forward? Because people saw some results, at least.
I do think there's a better chance. I also think if you kind of pan out to think about the political moment that we're in, there was really a decade and a half of bipartisan skepticism about toward teachers, toward teachers' unions, toward some of the kind of, you know, traditional public education system. And I think you could argue that that movement, that kind of reformist, neoliberal reformist movement, you know, more sort of business-like approach to education, more incentives, performance incentives, the end of seniority pay, you know, all these things that are ways of managing people in the private sector that were then adopted to teachers. I think that may have overreached a bit, and so I think teachers politically may be seizing on a bit of a reaction to that. You know, a lot of people intuitively just don't think that schools are like a business. And so if you've just, you know, hammered home this approach for years and years and it hasn't delivered a lot of gains in terms of student achievement, I think people are now receptive to the argument that, well, maybe schools shouldn't be run like a business. So I think there's a kind of fertile political climate for a bit of a reaction against that and a bit of a recognition that you get the incentives right, you can deal with things like seniority that we've traditionally thought have been created some dysfunction in the education system. You can get all that right, but if you don't fund it, you're still not going to get the results you want. So I think we're now in a different climate.
Noam Scheiber covers workers and the workplace for the New York Times.